part here too. Things that are going to help with acetylcholine would be...
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. We had originally planned on doing the show through BeLive TV and Facebook Live. But I'm telling you, BeLive TV was fantastic when it was free. And then as soon as they started charging for it on monthly, it has completely crashed. Doesn't work. I don't think I'm even going to use it anymore. I have to find an alternative to it. So with audio only, old-fashioned way. My guest today is a returning guest, is Sean Wells. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, and this is going to be an interesting discussion because Sean said, let's review what the health. And I cringed, really, because I thought I have tried to avoid watching this propaganda piece for a variety of reasons, because I know that it's nonsense. Number two, I don't have a lot of time to waste, and I have to dedicate it to the things that actually feed the mission of the show, and I knew that this didn't, but... Everybody is asking me, people are asking me, have you seen What the Health? What do you think? And I'm thinking, oh, man. And you too, right? You've had the same experience.
Yeah.
And so did you even want to watch it? Tell me the truth. Be honest. Did you want to watch it?
No. No.
I cringed. I put it off. Sean, I put it off to this morning. What does that tell you? I was like, oh, God, I have to watch What the Health now. So, okay. Give me your Reader's Digest overview, and then we're going to dig deep into this documentary because it's really interesting. What was your overall feeling about the documentary?
The documentary had a clear agenda, which I get. You know, obviously it's promoting a vegan agenda, and you know, life isn't one size fits all. So it's just frustrating to watch this and to hear things, dumbed down and become inaccurate, like their description of how diabetes, happens or, what the causes of coronary heart disease are that are highly inaccurate. They cherry pick studies. They cherry pick the doctors that have questionable practices. I just wasn't a fan for like, as it just kept rolling. There was clips of people that were sick. I don't know if you noticed this, but like there was the woman that had asthma. There was, various people that were just ill that were shown throughout this documentary. And there was no link to them eating a meat-based diet or them ever talking about eating a meat-based diet. I was like, why are these people, they're literally in there like, it's like sleight of hand.
Yes, that's exactly the word I use. This is like journalism sleight of hand. It's like three card Monty. Keep watching my hands, but you're not paying attention to where the cards are going, but you're watching my hands. And you know what? I thought the same flipping thing. I was like, why don't they ask these people what they eat? Like when the guy who goes, you know, I'm on 16 medications, I have insulin twice a day, blah, blah, blah. Like why didn't they say to him, so what's a normal day look like in your diet? I'm guaranteeing you it's not meat.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And they did that on purpose. They didn't ask on purpose, folks. They didn't.
Right. Right. And then there was even some doctors that say, yeah, it's because of diet, you know, the diabetes or whatever. But then they didn't go on to say, like,
yes,
you know, that it was because of a meat-based diet.
The credible doctors that they used in this documentary said, basically, yes, all of the disease we have today is related to diet. However, they never said processed meats and red meat. They said diet because we know that people don't eat right today. And then the biased doctors, like, are you serious that Dr. Bernard, he's a diabetes expert. He is an anti-dairy zealot, vegan zealot. All he does is bash dairy. He wrote an article last year that cheese was dairy crack and cheese was responsible for all of the obesity in America. Folks.
Oh, queso. Yeah, that reminds me of the quesomorphins.
Yes.
That are in dairy.
Yes.
They said as just as addictive as morphine.
Yes. So listen, just I want to put two things in context. First of all, the movie leads off, the documentary. I'm going to call it a movie. It's not a documentary because it's really a lot of fiction mixed in with plausible reality. So the movie starts off within the first 2 minutes. And if for those of you who are critical thinkers, you picked up on this immediately. They say processed meats and they show you a ribeye on a grill. That is not processed meats, folks. That is a whole piece of beef. That's not ham. That's not ham. Deli ham. That's not deli turkey. That's not bacon. That is real meat. And in all the studies they cite to support them, they always said processed meat was the problem. Never red meat, but yet they throw red meat under the bus in it because that is what they needed to promote their vegan agenda. They had to make that cross connection. Would you agree with that?
So. Here's the thing, and also there's a clip like with the American Cancer Society that that they show several times on the site that it recommends turkey and ham, but then he gets on the phone and he says, "Look, you guys are promoting processed meat. It doesn't say processed meat. It just says turkey and ham. It didn't say processed meats.
Well,
a processed version of turkey or ham.
Well,
like,
did you see?
I find that weird, but they said over and over like. Here's the thing. They talk about processed meat. They talk about red meat. They talk about fatty meats, lean meats, animal protein. And all these things are different.
Yes.
And the way that they're cooked, like whether they're smoked on a grill or, you know, heterocyclic amines, all this stuff. And everyone's throwing all these terms around. Animal protein is the cause. Well, I thought you just said it's fat and cholesterol that's in it that's the cause.
Right.
Or is it the heterocyclic amine? So if we eat it raw and it's lean, is it okay? Or like, so like, what is it? But, you know, then they go into fish, which is lean and raw potentially. But then, it's got PCBs and mercury, but it's also very high in fat and cholesterol.
On the ACS website, he shows two clips. The first one is luncheon meat based, right? The second one, it says meats, canned tuna, salmon, minced clams, and chicken. These are all good things. I mean, salmon is bad now all of a sudden, according to this nitwit?
It's crazy. So here's the thing. According to him, and I'm trying to figure out, like, what foods exactly are bad, according to him. Because if it is fats, then he doesn't get into coconut oil, olive oil, avocados, macadamia nuts, walnuts, chia seeds. Does that get talked about?
No. No, I want to bring chia seeds and flax seeds up again in this discussion. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. And then he talks about the processed meats and processed being so bad. But I agree. Like processed everything isn't so great. But wouldn't stuff like canola and some of these other vegetable oils that are highly inflammatory be thrown in there? Or what about all these GMO things that are like corn? Wheat, soy, and they talk about estrogenic compounds. Let's talk about that, soy, like you're about to talk about with flaxseed.
Yes.
And some of these things, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
What is it? What is it? Because to me, here's the thing. We've talked about this before. Like, let's bash, the government recommendations. Okay, I'm in for that all day. Like, saturated fat, sodium, cholesterol recommendations are stupid and really outdated. Let's talk about what healthy animals, carnivore or herbivore, eat and what we ate 100 years ago. And it wasn't processed foods. It wasn't artificial sweeteners, colors, flavors. It wasn't GMOs and extra hormones and antibiotics. I agree with all that.
Right.
But that doesn't preclude meat. That doesn't, and I'm not throwing vegetables or fruits or whatever under the bus either. Like, I'm just, I kind of agree with some things, but I'd also, throw some of the vegan sources of foods under the bus as well.
Yeah, like soy.
If I processed anything, I'm not a huge fan.
You know, so you know, like the whole time I'm watching the movie, I'm thinking of like an old, like snake oil carnival sideshow guy who's going, you know, like he's naming all this stuff and people going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he goes, you know, it's because of this. It's like everything that they said made sense. Like CAFOs, factory farms, horrible, right? Quality of processed meats today, horrible. Yep. Quality of food in general that the standard American diet encompasses, horrible. And then he goes, then he goes, meat bad. Ooh, meat's bad. It's like, give me a break. There was no connection between the message and meat. And here's the best part. Dr. Bernard, who must have been attacked by a cow's udder as a child, so he really hates dairy, right? Somebody must have squirted him with some milk out of a cow's teat. And ever since then, he hates dairy. He hates it. He goes around telling people that cheese is the cause of all the disease in the United States today. He calls it dairy crack. And every opportunity he gets, he says cheese is the reason for diabetes. Cheese is the reason for cancer. Well, guess what, folks? France, Iceland, Finland, Germany, Estonia, Switzerland, and Italy eat so much more cheese than the United States does. And don't forget, we kiss their ass for the Mediterranean diet. Oh, the Mediterranean diet, the Mediterranean. Yeah, guess what? France, they eat 57 pounds of cheese per person per year compared to our measly 23 pounds of cheese per year that Dr. Bernard is blaming for all the disease in the United States. You know what? These people, he ought to be tarred and feathered and rode out on a rail like they used to do in the old days when people were liars. You know what I mean?
Well, Kip, the documentarian, calls him a premier diabetes researcher.
Oh, it was a joke.
It has
when he
nothing
says
to do with diabetes.
I have that actually clipped. We're going to hear that. Let me do this. We're going to take a break in a minute. When we come back, we'll start playing some of these clips. But I got to tell people something that you may not know. This discussion about eating animals and not eating animals has gone on since recorded history. I kid you not. This is a passage in Romans 14:1-23. As for the one who is weak, welcome him, but not to quarrel over his opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the ones who eat despise the ones who abstain. And let not the ones who abstain pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed them both. So listen to this. Since the beginning of time, vegans have been taking the moral high ground and passing judgment on people who have eaten meat. And interestingly enough, whenever you see a vegan person who's really strong, they go, oh, look, he's really strong. You know why? Because most vegans aren't very strong. So even back then in Romans, when was this written? I don't even know why, like around the time of Christ. I mean, even back then, they were arguing about vegans and meat eaters back then. So it's never going to change. But don't get caught by the lie. That's all. That's all we hope that people figure out of this. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so I want to take a break, and when we come back, I've got some good clips that we can have some fun with. All right, you're listening to Superhuman Radio. I have Sean Wells on with me. We're talking about the movie, not the documentary, the movie. Actually, a partially fiction movie called What the Health. We'll be right back.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
In today's world, what would you give to have that ultimate edge, to always function at the highest possible level. That's exactly what the Da Vinci from Ultra Human gives you. Just one tablet a day increases focus, lowers anxiety, enhances social fluency, and improves your mood and drive. It's 8 hours strong with no crash. A sharp mind is priceless. And the Da Vinci even comes with a money-back guarantee. Find out more at theultrahuman.net. Make your brain 25 again with the Da Vinci from theultrahuman.net. Use discount code SHR10 for 10% off and free shipping.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
It's your boy DJ.
Welcome back. I'm on the air today with Sean Wells, my celestial brother. Yes, he's born on June 11th as well. You know who's part of the June 11th club, sadly to say? Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz.
I didn't know that.
His birthday is June the 11th. It's the only time I took pause and thought, oh, man. Because everybody else that I've ever seen that was born on June the 11th was like, wow, that's a credit to being born on June the 11th. And then I heard about Dr. Oz, so. This movie is actually in true Dr. Oz form as far as how they dumb stuff down. We're going to play a clip right now. So this clip is the one that you referred to when he needed an expert, a diabetes expert, to weigh in on the whole reason for diabetes. This is Dr. Neil. I'm so afraid of dairy, Bernard. Stay tuned. Hey, listen.
Government and media almost exclusively blame lack of exercise and sugary foods as a cause of diabetes. But I wanted to talk with an actual expert on the role of diet and diabetes. I went to speak with premier physician, diabetes expert, and researcher, Dr. Neil Barnard. What role does sugar play in causing diabetes?
Drive me crazy. Diabetes is not and never was caused by eating a high carbohydrate diet, and it's not caused by eating sugar. The cause of diabetes is a diet that builds up the amount of fat into the blood. I'm talking about a typical meat-based, animal-based diet. You can look into the muscle cells of the human body, and you find that they're building up tiny particles of fat that's causing insulin resistance. What that means is the sugar that is naturally from the foods that you're eating can't get into the cells where it belongs. It builds up in the blood, and that's diabetes.
I had never heard that meat was associated with causing diabetes.
Neither have I.
We've always been told that sugar obesity caused it. Renowned weight loss bariatric surgeon Dr. Garth Davis, though, agreed.
Everyone thinks that you get diabetic because of carbs. They did a huge study in that epic study, 500,000 people. Carbs consumption was inversely related with diabetes. In other words, the more carbs someone ate, the less diabetes they had. But meat was strongly correlated. Get that aha moment. The starches, the carbs are good for you. They're not bad for you. This idea that carbs make you fat is utterly ridiculous. Carbs cannot make you fat in and of themselves. We have storage in our muscles and in our liver for carbs called glycogen. So when we eat carbs, we either store it or we burn it. Now, eat fat, that goes straight to your fat. Your body can't turn those carbs into fat unless you're really overdoing the calories. Obesity, it's a death sentence. You're at much higher risk of getting cancer. You're almost certainly going to get diabetes. I mean, no one wants to fat shame, and we all want everybody to be comfortable with our bodies, but this movement to be comfortable with our bodies has made us comfortable with being sick, and that's a huge problem. I go into the hospital, and I look around me, people on dialysis, all these sick people, and just about every disease in there is because of what people are eating.
So, I mean, there are some things I agree with what you said. But it was hard, it's hard to listen to the beginning, right? Without just wanting to scream, right?
Yes.
All right. So, good. You opine first.
Okay. Well, obviously, I've worked with a lot of diabetic patients, so it's just insane to say what they said. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, so irresponsible. So, obviously, anyone who's diabetic knows. Why are you taking insulin? Because your carbohydrate intake.
If you cut your carbs down, your doctor has to lower your insulin, or you become hypoglycemic. So it directly affects carbohydrate consumption.
Exactly. No one's like, oh, I got to take an extra 5 units of insulin because I ate a bunch of meat. No, no one's ever said that. It's so absurd to say what they said. It just blows me away that, like, and then, like, the whole, like, fat in the blood makes you fat, and, I mean, that's totally not true. I mean, fat can be metabolized into ketones, as we know, we've talked about, like, especially in like, a low-carb, like, ketogenic scenario, but... I mean, if you watch, there's a great TED Talk, Dr. Sarah Hallberg, and she goes through, like, how the ADA, the American Diabetic Association, they recommend that you eat carbs all day long, and it essentially keeps you on insulin.
Right.
And that's a reason that type 1 diabetics are on so much insulin, and that type 2 diabetics used to be called non-insulin dependent diabetes. It used to be called adult onset diabetes. Now it's called type 2 diabetes. Why? Because a lot of these type 2 diabetics are kids. A lot of them are on insulin.
Right.
And it's nuts that they're on insulin because they make insulin. But they're eating so much high glycemic carbohydrate and exercising so little that they need extra insulin.
You know,
but they don't come up with a solution of, hey, cut back on your carbs. And it's amazing what happens when they do. And I've worked with tons of people that do this, that are diabetics, that go on a ketogenic diet, and that's type 1 or type 2. Type 1, they have less hypo and hyperglycemic episodes, which is great. They're more controlled. Type 2, they get off any medications entirely quite often. And, you know, then they're able to start exercising, and they drop weight, and they are able to exercise more because they dropped weight. And it's great. It's great. And then they get insulin sensitivity back. But to say, like, fat is, like, yeah.
Well, the sleight of hand comment that you made before is exactly what this movie does. They give you a little truth. They give you a little stuff where you go, yeah, that's right. And then they slip you the agenda. It's like, I agree with him that because of the new anti-fat shaming movement, it's really allowed people to be unhealthy and remain unhealthy longer. You know, Singapore single-handedly eliminated childhood obesity in like 3 or 4 years in their country. Ron Penna over at Quest told me about this, and he said, you know, it's not popular. You can't talk about it. But what they did was they actually shamed children who were obese. And guess what? The kids wanted to be, the deep down inside, they didn't want to be fat to begin with, but they worked harder. Now, you could never do that here in the United States because the ACLU and every other agency would be suing you. But the reality is that the opposite is what's happening, and it's condoning an unhealthy lifestyle and saying, oh, you're okay, don't worry about it. You deserve to be unhealthy and fat and not worry about it. And I say this as a former fat, unhealthy, 330-pound person. So I got a card in my wallet. I can call other fat people fat. You know what I mean? So we have to stop that. I do agree with that. I agree with his sentiment. But then to go on and tag meat as the culprit is just
the sole culprit.
Yeah. And, listen.
Like sugar has no role, right? Like, well, soda and candy and Doritos and
the problem with dietary discussions is, folks, it all means something in context. If you eat a high sugar, high fat diet, yes, fat gets stored, sugar gets burned. Does it all get, this guy goes, it all gets stored as glycogen or used as energy. He obviously doesn't realize that after about 300 grams of glycogen, it spills into the blood and becomes stored as fat. That's been proven.
Again. Fat and triglycerides.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You have bad cholesterol, don't worry about fat in your diet. Get the sugar and starches out of your diet. Watch your cholesterol normalize because glucose. Oh, it's a tri-bonded glucose. Fat bonded to glucose. That's what a triglyceride is. When you cut the glucose down, the triglycerides go down. They take a half-hearted attempt, Sean, at bringing context into the discussion with this next clip. Here, listen to this.
If I eat a sugary cookie, the sugar lures you in like the Trojan horse, but waiting inside that cookie is a huge load of butter or shortening, and that's what fattens you up, and that's the part that leads to the diabetes. It's the fatty foods, not really so much the sugar.
It's not that sugar is good for you. There's no nutrients in it. It's excess calories. But when you eat sugar, you don't get inflammation right away. When you eat sugar, you're not getting plaques forming in your vessels. When you're eating sugar, your body's going to store most of it as glycogen or burn it as calories.
Yeah.
And so this focus on sugar has taken all the focus off meat, dairy, eggs, pork, turkey, chicken.
Now just listen to that for a second. Let's just replay that. So it's not the cookie. The sugar lures you in, but the load of fat inside of it is what causes the problem. Sean, can you tell me, is insulin required to produce, to stimulate lipogenesis?
Insulin required to stimulate lipogenesis?
Yeah. Do you not need insulin to make new fat?
Yeah.
Of course. Right? So what he's saying is it's not the sugar that's the problem. It's the fat that's in the cookie. But the sugar is what stimulates the rise in insulin. And insulin is what goes, hey, I'm going to put that in the fat cells. So it
sugar. I see where you're going.
If you eat the fat without the sugar, you don't get the required insulin spike that's going to help it go into fat cells.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And like you talked about, like with inflammation, they talk about that, like you eat fat and it's instant inflammation and it's instant plaque in your arteries and fat gets stored as fat and. That's actually like more sugar. That's really causing inflammation. That's being stored as fat and it's crazy.
When that doctor referenced the EPIC study, right? 500,000 people. Mm-hmm. It sounds very impressive. So this is a population study, much like the one that Ansel Keys did that blamed cholesterol for heart disease, and now we know that was a lie.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
when you do
correlation,
there you go, correlation. What correlation is not causative because because fire trucks seem to be outside of burning buildings every time there's a burning building does not mean fire trucks start fires. That's correlation. Causative is something different. So saying that, oh, the people who ate lots of carbs, they had less diabetes and the people who ate lots of meat, that means nothing. That means, especially in the face of well-done scientific studies that show that high carbohydrate diets, high carb centric diets would stimulate insulin production to the point where the pancreas doesn't work well anymore because the terrain becomes, it becomes insensitive to insulin. So on one hand, you have fire trucks are outside of burning homes, so fire trucks must start fires type of a mentality. And the other one, you have actual science that shows that stimulating insulin over and over again throughout the day for long periods of time makes you insulin resistant until the point that your pancreas can't produce insulin enough. So we have proof that carbohydrate diets cause insulin resistance and diabetes. And then we have the fire truck outside of the burning house. And this is the nonsense that's in this movie. This is a movie. It's not a documentary. It's a movie. It's partially fiction.
Right. And a lot of those studies that you're talking about, those epidemiologic studies, those populational studies, mm-hmm. If you remove the processed food factor, which he talks about, which I've talked about, you know what actually it shows is that higher sodium is correlated to longer life,
yes.
That higher fat is correlated to longer life, that higher saturated fat is correlated to longer life, that higher cholesterol is correlated to longer life.
And
low cholesterol is actually correlated with a shorter life.
And that was shown specifically in two well-done studies by the University of Hawaii called the Hawaii Cholesterol Studies. They followed elderly people, 60 years old and above. They checked baseline cholesterol levels, and they checked cholesterol levels throughout their lives. They did not ask them to do anything different, and what they showed was the people with the lowest cholesterol at the beginning of the study and the lowest cholesterol at the start and throughout the middle of the study died the soonest. And the people with the highest cholesterol had the most robust health, because you need cholesterol, folks. Every friggin' cell is coated in a membrane of cholesterol.
Exactly. Yep. And it's also the basis. It's basically the mother hormone, if you will. Like,
yes.
So many of the steroid hormones are cholesterol-based. And, yeah, I mean, your brain needs the cholesterol, like you said, the outside layer of the cell. And it's an absurd thing to lower cholesterol. I mean, there's cases, like, you can look at, like, the Eskimos that have, like, cholesterols in the 600s. They have no incidence of, like, coronary heart disease.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can tell you who's at greatest risk is people taking statins. There is a correlation with people taking statins. I mean, and not just because they're, you know, people that are at higher risk for heart attack, but versus those that aren't on it, but, you know, that are at that level of cholesterol. And they actually have greater risk of dying, worse outcomes.
Yeah.
By being on the statins.
In fact, there's a study that was just published, and I'm trying to get the author on the show, that just published a study that shows that ceasing statin medication, taking statin medication, actually improves or mm-hmm. lowers your risk of dying from a second heart attack. How about that one? So that's really good. Here's another clip. This is when they start to bring red meat into the discussion. This is really sneaky. Mm-hmm. Watch this.
I had doubt about the claims these doctors were making, so I did some searching on my own. Harvard researchers looked at 9 prospective studies, finding that just one serving of processed meat per day increased risk of developing diabetes by 51%. The link between eating meat and developing diabetes became undeniable. But when I went on the leading diabetes organization's website, the American Diabetes Association, not only did they not have this information front and center, they were featuring recipes for red and processed meat. And on their recipes for healthy living, they had bacon-wrapped shrimp. What the hell?
So maybe bacon is a bad idea, but shrimp is good. Shrimp is fantastic. But notice what they did. Here's evidence of Sean's accusations of sleight of hand. They say that this research paper implicates processed meat. And then he immediately turns around and goes, red and processed meat. That's not what the paper said. The paper looked at red and processed meats. I've seen the paper. Adele Moussa has talked about the paper. It only implicated processed meats as being problematic, not whole cuts of good red meat. But notice what he does.
But he said it's becoming undeniable.
Yes. Red and processed meats. Red and processed meats. And then he goes on to say that the American Diabetes Association recommends people eat red and processed meats in some of their recipes. They're not the same, but he's purposely working hard to try to make it the same because of his agenda-driven biases here that he wants people to eat vegan. That's the
right.
whole thing here.
Yeah, it goes back to what I was talking about, that he says, well, it's the ones that have high fat and high cholesterol. So are the lean meats okay? Well, no, because it's the red meat. And then some other guy says, well, you know what? It's the animal protein. Well, is it the animal protein or is it the, oh, no, it's because it's cooked a certain way with heterocyclic amines. Like, oh, okay, like, what is it? Like, what is it? Like, is it, oh, it's because it's processed. So the non-processed meats are okay? No, it's, it just keeps going down this rabbit hole of like, it shifts, it, like, and everything gets correlated with everything.
And
it's just noise.
I want to take a break, but I also want to credit Shelley Wells, who is your wife, as messaging us and saying that Romans was written in 57 AD, 57 years after the death of Christ. They were fighting about who's vegan and who's not. Think about that, folks. This has been going on since the beginning of time, I'm sure. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I have some more really good clips to play that we can opine. We're talking with Sean Wells. Sean, is there a website for Zone Halo?
Yep, zonehalo.com.
Zonehalo.com.
And then I have an Instagram at Zone Halo. Mm-hmm.
So you can reach Sean that way. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Kana banner ad today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both Use and endorse Can-See Eye Drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how Can-See Eye Drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with BodybuildingSupplements.com. BodybuildingSupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Crealkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
Buy Adaptogen N at BodybuildingSupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. BodybuildingSupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at BodybuildingSupplements.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Sean Wells. We're talking about the movie. I'm not even going to call it a documentary. What the hell? And I just want to point something out before we move on, and we'll play some more clips and have some more laughs, because this really is funny. It's really out of desperation. Look, if you don't want to eat animals because you feel sorry for them, go on with yourself. That's great. But don't try to convince everybody else in the world that they shouldn't. In December of 2015, the Psychology Today magazine did an article about a study, and the study was, why do vegans suffer from greater mental health issues than omnivores? That was the name of the study. And the study came up with three hypotheses. And it said, the first one was that the diet negatively affects brain chemistry. We know it does. It builds up high levels of copper. It depletes B12. It depletes a lot of things. I mean, unless you're supplementing out the yin yang with everything you're not getting in your diet, which most vegans are not. They just feel like, if I'm not eating animal, I'm doing okay. I can eat pizza. I can eat anything I want as long as it's not animal. Mistake. So the first one was the diet negatively affects brain chemistry. The second was that vegans tend to have more pre-existing mental issues that drive them to, like, they're looking for answers. I have these mental problems. My friend says, become vegan, your mental problems go away. And they don't. They don't go away. In fact, in many cases, they get worse because now they're nutrient depleted as well. And the last one, the reason I'm reading this is because Kip identifies himself as a hypochondriac at the beginning of this documentary. The third one is that vegans are hypochondriacs by nature. And so do you know what the word hypochondriac means, where the term first came from?
I don't know. I would assume it's something like, obviously, hypo is low, and then
yes,
chondria is something to do with bone.
Yes.
I don't know.
Below the rib cage. It was Hippocrates that first coined the term. And it was people who had problems that they quite couldn't put their finger on, that they didn't feel well. And it was from their stomach, he was saying. Hypochondriacs below. These people have problems in their gut that manifest in these vague feelings that I just know something's not right. I just can't put my finger on it. So they're always searching for the answer. And Kip self-describes himself as a hypochondriac. So he fits the description of the people they were writing about in the study that was covered in Psychology Today in 2015.
You know, that's a great point, too, because he said that he was looking for all these, he had symptoms, so he was looking for what conditions fit his symptoms. He was essentially going through, like selection and confirmation bias.
Yes.
Like that kind of sets the stage for, like, the whole documentary. Like, he makes things fit.
Because he needs them to fit. He needs them to fit. See, the vegan diet is a template driven by dogma. Anytime something is driven by dogma, converting other people is a critical part of it, because it helps you to build your own faith. So you can't have a lot of faith if you're the only person on the planet that believes this way. But if you get more and more people to believe that way, then you go, maybe there's something to this. I have faith now because all these other people feel the same way. It's the crowd phenomenon, I think is what they call it. And so So what vegans need to do is they need to convert people, because the more people they convert, then the stronger their faith is in their decision. Because clearly they don't necessarily all feel well. Now, I will say this. I believe that going completely vegan for 2-3 weeks at a time is probably a good thing. Because if you look at us from an evolutionary perspective, our diet was phasic. In the wintertime, we didn't have vegetables to eat.
Right.
So it probably makes sense to do this, you know, it's summertime, eat lots of fruits and berries and squash and eggplant and zucchini. But you don't live on that year in, year out. That's the problem with the vegan diet. And most people who go vegan do feel better because they're getting the crap out of their diet and they just think it's the vegan diet. No, sometimes it's more about what you remove from your diet than what you include in your diet that gives you the results you're looking for.
But being vegan, I mean, you could be eating or you could be drinking Pepsi. You could be having Frosted Flakes. You could be having, I mean, you can still, there's still like a lot of vegan foods that are desserts and garbage. And I mean, sugar's vegan, like, you know, because it's coconut sugar and organic agave, it's healthy. No, it's not. So yeah, you can still be vegan and get fat. You can still be vegan and be unhealthy. And you can still be vegan and have GMO foods and processed foods, like canola oil that's in everything at Whole Foods that's basically bleached and deodorized and is an inflammatory oil. And it's a bleached and deodorized because it's rancid at the heats that they prepare it at. So, I mean, yeah, you can be vegan and still be incredibly unhealthy.
Yes.
Certainly, like, not getting enough nutrients potentially, like, you know, B12 and some other things. But, you know, that's – and I agree with this concept of, processed meats and, you know, cooking them in certain ways. Like, absolutely. Like, the antibiotics in them, the growth hormones in them. I mean, all this kind of stuff is a concern. I agree. But – you know, like, know the source of your food, all of your food,
Right.
Like, it's not just meat. Like, we are omnivores. We can talk about that. We're evolved to be, you know, both meat eaters and vegetable eaters. We're like herbivores and carnivores. We're omnivores. We can do both.
Right.
And we have the ability, like we've talked about, to use glucose and ketones as a fuel. And like you said, like maybe we were highly ketogenic in the winter when we were eating meats and probably going long periods of fasting. But in the you know, summer months, like we were probably eating, you know, the vegetable sources, fruits and vegetables and grains maybe. I don't know. But you certainly, like we said, I mean, if you go back 100 years or if you just look at what animals are eating, animals aren't getting fat because of fat or saturated fat or cholesterol in the diet, or sodium, or whatever. I mean, it's about too little exercise, too many calories. It's about processed foods, artificial sweeteners, flavors, colors, GMOs, antibiotics, hormones that weren't there for us 100 years ago and weren't in animals' diets, you know, throughout history.
The San Diego Zoo had a bear that was dying of congestive heart failure. They never get that in the wild, only in captivity. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they feed them bear chow. They feed them a processed meal made by you know, some company that makes it out of corn and grain and bone and and dried, and they cook it at such a high heat that they denature it and they feed it to the bears. All the animals in zoos today suffer from diseases we see in humans, and there's a reason for that. It's because they're confined, they don't have the normal activity that they would, and then they feed them processed foods. That's it. That's the simplest terms. And so, yes, removing processed foods is critical, but throwing meat out is a mistake. Here, listen to this clip.
When we speak of heart disease, I would say the role of alcohol is pretty small. The role of sugar is very small, too. Smoking is big. The good news is that most people have quit or never did smoke. The problem with animal-based diet, its contribution to heart disease is huge, and it is pervasive.
Animal-based diet, heart disease is huge and pervasive. That's a big, broad term. I mean, that's just like saying, since this new outbreak of terrorists using cars to terrorize and truck to terrorize, that's like saying, automobiles are at the basis of terrorism today. No, that's not true. Oh, yeah, they're being used by terrorists. They're being exploited by terrorists. But that doesn't make all automobiles terrorist tools. I mean, it's really, this is, I don't know how, in this day and age where information is so readily available and easy to put out there, there has to be some sort of system to stop these types of documentaries, which are designed to fool people and make them even sicker in a different direction.
It's crazy. Didn't you think it was funny that he was like calling these people that are like phone reps or like security and like asking them like really complex questions?
Yeah.
And then he's like, yet again, they wouldn't answer me, or they put, like,
they said they had
to know how to answer you.
Yeah. Right. Right. He was startled by that. Nah, it's all part of the act. This is where it really gets dicey for me. So then they bring milk into the discussion. Here, listen to this.
Oh, jeez.
Dairy products in general have a lot of other products associated with it, not the least of which is pus. I mean, they actually have laws limiting how much pus you can actually have in a milk and still sell it. I believe it's like 750,000 pus cells per cc. Because, I mean, you wouldn't want too much pus and it'd be like pure pus. People might object. In fact, you could think of cheese as kind of coagulated cow pus, if you would.
You know what? Cheese is not pus. And so let me tell you about pus, where it comes from, okay? Dr. Ron Schmid, who lives in Connecticut, who wrote the book, The Untold Story of Milk, explains why milk is what it is today. Because throughout history, heck, it's written in the Bible, the land of milk and honey. Milk and honey implied abundance and good life. There's a reason for that. Because milk sustained life better than any other food that we had available to us. And why? Well, because human breast milk is the only thing made by nature to be food for humans. Everything else we've adapted to be food. Okay? Kale, it wasn't supposed to be food. Okay? We figured out we could eat it and not die, and it made us feel okay, and that's how it became food. But milk is made to be food for mammals, and cow's milk very, very closely resembles human milk with the addition of higher amounts of IGF and some other good things. But there are hormones in milk, just like there are in breast milk. Yes, that's true. But the idea that milk is bad for you started in 1910 when the distilleries were throwing away all this mash, and they thought, why don't we feed it to cows and we'll bottle milk? We're already bottling booze. Let's bottle milk. And in 1910, there was this swill milk epidemic. It killed 1,100 people on the East Coast, babies and women mostly. Because when you feed cows that are designed in nature to eat grass, corn, and mash, grains, they develop mastitis. It's inflammation in the breast tissue. And pus comes out, and it kills people. So instead of telling the distilleries, you just killed 1,100 people, you're out of business, the distilleries had all the money back then. Don't forget, booze was king. It owned politicians. Mm-hmm. Hell, booze is the reason we had John F. Kennedy, because his father was a bootlegger who used to bring Canadian Club into the United States through the north corridor of the United States. He was making $50 million a year back then when it was like a billion a year. So right. Booze made people stand up and take orders. And so the booze manufacturer said, hey, no, don't close the chapter yet on milk. We heard about this thing called pasteurization over in Paris. Let us go find out what it is. And sure enough, they killed everything in the milk, everything that was good. It extended the shelf life. But milk has never been a bad thing. And again, I point back to the French, who eat three times more cheese than us. And all these other countries that eat a lot of cheese and use a lot of dairy, and they're robust and they're healthy, and we look to them and we want to adapt their diet. Dairy is not bad. But yes, yet again, the institutionalized production of dairy today, the way they raise cows, what they feed cows, how they process the milk, yes, that's bad. So point out what's really the problem. It's not milk. It's the way milk is produced today for the masses.
Agree. It's again, it goes back to the heavy processing, and I think we all agree on that. It's just throwing meat in that and or anything animal based in there is crazy to me.
I mean, he's just trying to scare people, right? Ooh, cheese is pus. I'm not eating cheese anymore. Cheese is not.
Yeah, it's literally. Yeah, exactly. It's a scare tactic, and it's. I mean, there's a certain amount of rat feces that are allowed in grain, right?
Yeah.
So does that mean he's screwed and he can't have wheat, corn, and soy anymore?
It's a good point. That's a really good point. And then they also pointed out in the milk, and I didn't clip this. I don't think I did. I thought I did, but I can't find it now. They also said that the problem with meat, with dairy, is that it's loaded with hormones. And
yeah.
And I'm thinking, so soy isn't, and chia seeds aren't. Chia seeds have phytoestrogens in them. Soy has a ton of phytoestrogens. Flaxseed. So all those things that vegans hold near and dear to their heart, those have hormonal impact as well.
Exactly. Yep. This whole thing, and what was it? Institutionalized racism. Did you catch that?
Oh, dude, I had to keep going, because when people, I have a friend who's vegan, and he tells me that because I eat meat, I am supporting racism indirectly, because we are exploiting animals. They are a race of their own. It's like, oh, dude, when you're like, that's if Martin Luther King was alive right now, he would slap that guy in the face and say, you don't know what racism is. If you think that the way animals are raised and farmed today has anything to do with what they did to Africans when they brought them here to the United States, there isn't a civil rights leader in the world that wouldn't slap him in the face.
Well, what about comparing the antibiotic-related deaths in food to like 9/11 and plane crashing?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about alarmist and just sensationalist. Oh my goodness.
And the sad part is there are a lot of people out there, Sean, who are listening and thinking, man, maybe this is true. Maybe I need to stop eating meat. No more steak. No more chicken breasts. No more lobster or shrimp. I mean, there are really people out there from this watch this movie that are thinking that.
Serving Steve-O from Jackass, who's obviously a qualified person to speak on this, serving chicken at a diabetes event is like serving alcohol at an AA meeting.
That's what Steve-O said?
Yeah.
Well, in his defense, he has been hit in the head a lot. So
that's like saying that diabetics, I guess, are addicted to chicken, and chicken will send them spinning, just reeling into this state of addiction that they simply can't overcome, like alcohol for Alcoholics Anonymous.
You know,
really?
I've come to the conclusion that we are never going to change the minds of people who dig their heels in and defend this kind of nonsense. So the best thing that we could do is just let them ride it out and see what happens to them.
What about at the beginning when the processed meats as a group one carcinogen, which also has plutonium and asbestos in it?
Yeah, I know. That was pretty funny.
He compares that to that. Yeah. And clearly, does anyone, I will just implore anyone listening that has a rational mind, do you think that processed meats, even if you ate processed meat every day of your life, maybe you'd have a shorter life, do you think it would be the same as exposure to asbestos or plutonium? Come on. Plutonium? Really?
Yeah, no, I know. You know what? I'm going to shock everybody. You know what I had right before we did the show today? A half pound of U.S. Wellness Meats liverwurst. It's beef heart, beef kidney, and beef liver. And it has no sodium nitrates in it. It has no preservatives in it. It's delicious. Organ sausage was known to build robust health in Germany. The Germans, they're the ones who invented the wursts. And the idea that's the other thing. We have processed meats like Land of Frost and Hillshire Farms that is nothing but crap. It's toenails and hooves that you wouldn't buy and eat, ground up, liquefied, put into a casing with artificial flavors and preservatives and sodium ethabate and sodium nitrate and this and that. And then you have people who know how to make processed meats like John Wood over at US Wellness Meats. There's nothing artificial in there. It's just beef heart, beef liver, and beef kidneys and some spices, and that's it. So even that has to be discussed. That's the problem today. Everybody wants to be told the one thing that they should be avoiding or they should be doing. And unfortunately, it's not just one thing. It's a lot more than just one thing.
You're okay eating sugar because that only goes to glycogen or gets burned as glucose. So.
No, I don't. I'm not a sugar. I don't eat a lot of sugar. I get sugar and fruit, and that's it. Yeah, I know.
No. I'm just talking about what they said, that sugar can't be stored as fat or turned into triglycerides. So
these guys ought to lose their medical licenses, really. And the guy about the canine teeth, I'm going to play this one clip. We're going to talk about this. We're going to take a break, and then I'm going to play the canine tooth clip. So here, listen to this. Yeah.
Taking about 16 drugs, not counting the insulin in the morning. I take insulin in the morning, insulin at night, 32 to 34 units of insulin. Lantus, to be exact. Some of these meds are for diabetes. This is for peeing. I have to use this for my prostate, and then I have to use this for the heart, and I have to use this for blood pressure. And it's just on and on and on and on. The doctors are telling me this is what I got to do for my whole life. And it's frustrating. And it's very stressful. And I don't know how long my liver is going to last taking all this stuff.
Under conventional medical treatment, whether it be for autoimmune disease or even conditions like high blood pressure or diabetes, you're told that you have to take drugs. And not just for a week or a month or a year. You're told you have to take drugs forever. You're guaranteed that if you follow your doctor's advice, you'll be sick forever. You'll never get well. That's the guarantee. Because the strategies are all about manipulating the symptoms, not dealing with the underlying cause.
I agree with that.
I totally agree with that. That's actually Chris Rock's thing where he says there's no money in the cure. It's all about the comeback.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know,
that's totally true. But at no point did that guy say that his diabetes was correlated to red meat or meat in general.
That is actually when I thought about that. That's actually when I thought, when I watched that clip and I was clipping it, I thought, why didn't they ask him what his diet looks like?
They do that repeatedly. There's like four different people that are on there that like never say that they're what their diet is.
Yeah. Oh, I eat steaks and chicken all day long, and that's why I'm like, no, you're eating Hot Pockets and pizza and popcorn and all the other crap is what you're eating.
Exactly. With 34 units of Lantus, like that's like the basal insulin, he's like, there's tons of carbs in his diet. Tons.
Has to be. Otherwise he'd be going to a diabetic coma if it wasn't. Has to be. And the average person doesn't know what you just said. The average person doesn't know that if a guy's taking 38 units of insulin a day, that means that he's probably eating 600 to 800 grams of carbohydrates a day.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from whatever else he's eating. And it's definitely not kale, and it's not cucumber, and it's not carrots. He's eating bread products and pasta products, and he's eating pizza, and he's eating all this other stuff. That's the reason why he's taking that much insulin.
But wait, those things are vegan. They're okay.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very sad. This is really sad. I know we're having fun with this, but the sad part is there are actually people who are watching that movie and believing it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing.
That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
If you followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Either with those who love freedom.
Welcome back. Are you with those who hate? We're talking with Sean Wells. He is with Zone Halo. What's your Instagram again?
At Zone Halo.
At Zone Halo. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So you could reach him that way, or you could reach him, what, through your website?
Yep, zonehalo.com.
So this is the interesting one. This one, actually, I couldn't really go on after this one. I'm going to be honest with you. If you asked me anything about the very, very end of the movie, I would be able to, I'd have to lie or act like I watched it, but I didn't. After this particular physician said, we're not omnivores. I mean, we're just not. Because our canines aren't even long enough to really tear into flesh. I mean, through evolution, our jaws have narrowed, our teeth have changed, Does that mean that we didn't eat raw tubers and vines and roots back in the day because our molars aren't 1 inch wide like they used to be? No, of course not. But, dear, listen to this. This is great.
Human beings, unlike bears and raccoons, and to some extent dogs, don't have that mixed anatomy and physiology that you see in the true omnivores, and thus we are not true omnivores. In humans, the canines have become really small and rounded and actually function like accessory incisors. They're utterly useless for ripping and tearing anything other than an envelope. So the idea that the mere presence of the canine somehow means that we're supposed to eat meat is silly.
It's silly, Sean. It's silly. I mean, all he needs to do is pick up the story of the human body by the brilliant Dr. Daniel Lieberman from Harvard and read it and then come back and make that statement again. I mean, this is why I didn't want to watch this movie, because I want to run my head into a wall right now, because this movie takes really good stuff like the problems with Big Pharma and CAFOs and commercial farming today. They never mention pesticides and herbicides and the problems they're causing, because that actually would hurt their vegan agenda. It like takes all that good stuff and it blames it on meat, because their real agenda is to get people to stop eating meat. They should just come out and say, hey, this movie is called Why You Should Stop Eating Meat.
And it's crazy, because when I think about the things that are highly inflammatory, it's the first thing I think of are the processed vegetable oils.
Yep.
And sugar.
Yeah, but not according to this movie.
You can be vegan.
But not according to this movie, that's for sure.
No. Yeah, the bias is so strong, like, to not say that there's any issues with anything vegan, like I said, there is GMOs in all these vegan grains. There is phytoestrogens with flax and soy, and those are cancer promoting. And, you know, if their theory were true about fat and saturated fat, then there's things like coconut oil, olive oil, avocados, macadamias, walnuts, all these things would be problematic. I don't believe that's true at all.
Well, look at the keto movement right now. Look at the keto movement. So you have people who are dropping 40 and 50 pounds in record time and completely reversing insulin resistance by eating a diet that's predominantly fat. That's probably 60% fat to 70% fat, and the balance is protein. So, again, this is why I've been saying on the show for a long time now, it's all about the context of the diet. If you're eating a high-fat, high-sugar diet, you are going to get fat for sure. But fat isn't the reason you're getting fat. It's the sugar that's stimulating insulin that's making you fat. So when you look at people who are on keto, they don't have problems with their cholesterol levels. They don't have high circling levels of fat that's sticking to the cells and keeping the insulin. No, in fact, their insulin sensitivity is improving. Their cholesterol levels are improving. But all they're eating is fat. If what they said was true, those people would be on the fast train to diabetes.
Yeah, and then we've talked about cholesterol too, which frustrates me. Like we were mentioning earlier, that higher cholesterol is actually a good thing, and there's only, and even people say LDL, oh, that's the bad cholesterol. That's not true. There is a small dense LDL, a type of LDL that is potentially bad and correlated to heart disease. But just because LDL is up is not a bad thing. And if you're not working with your physician and your physician just only looks at total cholesterol, LDL, HDL, then they're not looking deep enough, especially if you're on like a high-fat diet. They need to look with a VAP test or an NMR test,
right,
and look at the
size of the
fractions.
Particle. Right.
Exactly, and look at the small, dense LDL, because of the large fluffy LDL is actually correlated, decreased inflammation, better outcomes with heart disease, et cetera.
But see, even the VLDL, right, the very low density LDL, the real small particle sizes, and I've used this analogy for years. Those are people who've listened to this show for years know I've said this for years. I've actually had scientists on this show, and I've challenged them on the whole cholesterol theory. And because there are people with high cholesterol that don't get heart attacks. If high cholesterol equals heart attacks, then everybody with high cholesterol would have a heart attack. And there are lots of people in this world who have high cholesterol, and they have zero heart attacks. Okay, so you say to yourself, gee, why is that? Is there something else going on? Yes. So inflammation is the reason for the heart attack. Inflammation is the reason the plaque builds up. If I walk into your house and I punch a hole in your wall, assuming Shelly doesn't shoot me, you go and you get your spackle and your and stuff and you spackle the wall, right? So, so who created the problem? Me punching the hole in the wall or you spackling the wall?
You punching the hole.
Of course. So I'm inflammation and you're cholesterol, but yet you're the problem? No. You don't punch the hole in the wall in the first place, and then you don't have cholesterol trying to fill the crack, because that's what it's doing, folks. When the intima becomes inflamed and torn, the body goes, patch that. Patch that now. We don't need a leak. And this is what it does. It gets a little cholesterol. It gets a little calcium. You notice calcium is part of plaque. You don't see anybody on a, hey, we got to lower your calcium. It's leading to plaque build. No, they never talk about that. How convenient. How convenient.
There is a correlation with calcium and coronary artery disease.
Is there? Now, is that with arteriosclerotic index?
Yeah.
Or is that with, okay, interesting. Well, there you go. There you go. Because it is part of the spackle. It is part of the spackle. So this idea that cholesterol equals a heart attack is not playing out at all. And the reality is that people are starting to see statin drugs aren't saving them. It's silly. And animal protein. And the other thing is we've just had Adele Moussa just wrote a blog and came on my show last year about the more eggs you eat, the better your cholesterol gets, because dietary cholesterol does not equal dyslipidemia. In fact, if you're getting adequate amounts of cholesterol from your diet, your body doesn't have to produce it. So actually, the dyslipidemia model changes completely. When you're getting people eat more eggs, they have better cholesterol levels.
But wait, I thought one egg was equal to 5 cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, according to him. But did you see them with the cigarettes and the sausages in the frying pan?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll give you this. This guy did a good job by taking 90% good information and weaving that last 10% BS into it and getting a lot of people to believe it. It really, because look, we are here talking about him. Everybody's talking about this. Not because it's good thing, because it's a bad thing, but everybody's talking about
it. I've had so many people reach out to me over this. They're just alarmed, and some people have already gone vegan just because they're freaked out.
That won't last long. People will go vegan for a while, and then they'll start feeling sick. And if they're not devoted to the moral aspect of the vegan diet, they'll go back, and they'll find out they feel better.
So check this out. There was a quote somewhere. Oh, okay, here it is. The strategy is to confuse Americans. Confusion is the game. You got to introduce doubt. That's all you need. And I was like, he was talking about, big food and the games that they play. And I thought, that pretty much describes this documentary.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. Just instill doubt in people that they're doing the right thing, and then they'll do something else.
Yeah,
did we cover it, you think?
I think we covered it. It's beaten into the ground now.
I am so sad that I watched it. I really, I think I told you this off the air. I don't listen to anybody else's podcasts. I don't watch documentaries by and large because I never want to be influenced by anybody else's opinions of things. I want to arrive at my own opinions on my own accord. And I put off watching this so many times for this reason, and it ended up living up to everything I thought it would be. It made me feel angry after watching it, really angry.
Totally agree. I have one more quote. This one was hilarious to me. With a scientific mind, they were talking about, you know, the big fish that eat obviously the smaller fish, and there's the whole bioaccumulation effect. But then he says that something, when they're talking about sardines, something that's less toxic doesn't matter. It's just less toxic. And I thought, you know, the whole like treatment in the dose kind of thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I thought that's an absurd statement. That's kind of like them correlating plutonium to processed meat.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, of course it matters. Like, everything has some level of toxicity to it. Everything does at a certain amount. I mean, and there's no grain that's safe. There's no anything that you're going to put in your body, water, anything that's somehow pure and perfect for you. It doesn't happen.
Right.
So to say something's just less toxic and that doesn't matter is an absurd statement. And people, if you're listening to some of the quotes in here, you should write this documentary off. What I'd like to do is basically what you're talking about. It would be so fun to edit out some of the stupidity and leave the documentary with the good parts intact and then drop in some new pieces. And I could get anyone to believe anything that's actually, I could make them at the end believe that the meat-eating diet is the only way to go, that you shouldn't eat vegetables anymore.
That would be funny. And that's not what we're proposing either. We're not proposing. I mean, the truth of the matter is I think people do need to eat more vegetables with their salmon and with their beef and with their pork, you know, and I'm talking about healthy cuts of meat. You should be eating more vegetables. In the winter, in the summertime, in the wintertime, you can't get vegetables, so swear off of them for a while. But yeah, I know it's very frustrating that this documentary got made. But the reason it got made is because there's lots of people out there who want to push the vegan agenda, and so the money is out there if you want to do something vegan. I am not opposed to the vegan diet. I just want to be clear about two things. I think going vegan for a couple of weeks is probably a good thing for you, for everybody. I think it would emulate more the phasic diet that humans had before we became marketed to. The other thing is, I'm not completely against genetically modified food organisms. I'm only against genetically modified organisms that are modified to accept more petrochemicals without dying, because that just means that you and I are consuming more of these petrochemicals, these herbicides and pesticides. And so one of the things that was very, very obviously skirted around in this whole documentary was the effects of herbicides and pesticides on humans and on the planet. You know, the agricultural industry has done a very good job of staying out of the global warming discussion. But there is evidence that they are as bad an offender and possibly worse as fossil fuels. When you look at the hundreds of thousands of millions of pounds that are sprayed globally, and it goes up into the air, folks, and it causes the ozone to dissipate, and it causes greenhouse gases. But you've never heard that before come out of any politician's mouth. You've never heard that come out of any news anchor's mouth. Oh, well, the coalition is looking into the effects of pesticides and herbicides on global warming. What? No, you don't hear that. And so we consume it. We breathe it. It Fs up the planet. No one's talking about it. And this documentary was very obviously silent about, hey, if you're going to eat vegetables, because remember they did that part about, oh, it doesn't cost a lot of money to eat a plant-based diet. Well, it does if you're doing it right and eating organic where organic is required.
Right. I mean, this documentary could have been paid for by Monsanto/Bayer for all we know. I mean,
yeah, good point. Good point. This is right up their alley. Get people to eat more vegetables. Don't ask questions about the chemicals that are on them. That's another underlying message in this documentary. Don't worry about the chemicals.
Yep.
Otherwise, we would have talked about it. That's not hurting you.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so we did it. Now I'm going to go. I feel like what was that that movie where Forrest Whitaker is in the shower trying to wash the filth of the day off of his body? What was that? What was that movie again? The Crying Game. The Crying Game.
gosh.
After watching watching this documentary, I feel like I need to get in the shower now.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's an interesting movie to cite.
There you go. All right, look, Sean, thanks for coming on and talking about this, okay? We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Carl. Okay. See ya.
All right, and that's it for today. We've got the Blueprint Power Hour tomorrow. Tune in for that. We'll see you then.